This maimer was recited by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Dvarim, which was Shabbos Chazoin in the year 1986. The maimer based itself on the final words of the Haftorah, the final pasuk of the Haftorah. So we have a special Haftorah this Shabbos. It talks Chazoin Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshayahu. And that's where the Shabbos gets its name from. And the last words, the last pasuk of the Haftorah, even though the Haftorah's vision is one of destruction, it's not an inspiring vision. But the Haftorah finishes, as these Haftorahs are wont to do, with an inspiring message. Tzion b'mishpat ipadeh, Tzion, which is Zion, b'mishpat, literally translates with justice, will be redeemed. V'shoveho, and her returnees, which could be understood as captives, could also be understood as those doing tshuva, b'tzedakah, with the mitzvah of tzedakah, or can be translated as with righteousness. There are many, many known maimonim from the Rabbeim, shebachol derva der in every generation on this pasuk, beginning with the drush of the Alter Rebbe, which is found on the Kutat Torah in the beginning of Parshas Dvarim. And the Rebbe notes that it's quite astonishing that the maimonim of Parshas Dvarim begin not with the pasuk of Parshas Dvarim, not even with the opening pasuk of the Haftarah, but with the last pasuk of the Haftarah. It's really something. It tells you that this last pasuk and its message is of critical importance. Umavur Sham, in the Maimer of the Alter Rebbe, it's explained. Oftentimes, the Alter Rebbe will ask a number of questions. He'll begin a conversation, and then he'll say, in order to understand this, it's necessary for us to understand what says somewhere else. We'll introduce another concept, and by explaining another concept more fully, we'll be able to come back to home base and have a clear understanding of the verse or the Mishnah that he's explaining at hand. So over there, the Alter Rebbe begins a discussion of that which is written, V'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela, these things, asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoyim, which I command you today, which is found in parts of Eschanan, which is part of our Kriya Shema. V'om razal, and our sages tell us, this is quoted by Rashi, it's from the Sifri, from the Medrash Halacha of Chumash Dvarim. What does it mean when we say, V'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoyim, these things which I command you today? What is the emphasis on today? Why can't it say, V'hoyu hadvarim asher anoichi mitzavcha, the things that I command you? What's the emphasis today? What's the difference which day Moshe commanded us? What's the difference if Hashem brought us the mitzvah on that day or the other day? Hayoyim is totally superfluous, or so it would seem. So our Chacham and our sages tell us that this means, every day it should be fresh, new, and dynamic. In other words, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayoyim, which God commands you today, when? Today, now, mamash, here. What Hashem commands you to do today, that's what you should do. And that's more than immediacy. It's not just Hashem wants you to do it today. He's giving you the mitzvah today. You have to imagine, you have to, in your mind's eye, have to see as if Hashem gave you a mitzvah today. So what does that mean? If you would receive a mitzvah from Hashem today, how would you do? How would you respond? Sure. Today, Hashem will come and give you today. The great shofar sounds and the voice comes through. Mashiach is here. Mashiach is here. And Hashem says through his Navi, everybody should do X, Y, and Z now. We'd go crazy. We'd be so excited. Nobody would miss the opportunity to do exactly what Hashem said. He just told you to do this now. That's how you should live every single day of your life. It's a mitzvah today. Hashem told you today to put on film. Hashem told you today you should daven. That's the meaning of Hayyim. That's what our sages say. Shezehu inyan ikri v'koylel ba'avaydas adam. This is a foundational, a primary, and also an overarching, a general principle in our Yiddishkeit. In other words, it's not speaking about that particular mitzvah. It's not only relevant when it comes to Kriyas Shema. It's a general statement. How should a Yid fulfill a mitzvah? How should a Yid see his relationship with Hashem? Hayyim, Hayom, today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a mitzvah today. He's commanding me today. And that sense of immediacy, and that sense of relevancy, and that sense of dynamism, Shekol HaTorah Kula, that has to punctuate and permeate the entirety of Yiddishkeit, all of my relationship with Hashem, that I have to see it as if the entire Torah has to be Ba'ifin the Kechadoshim, as if it was new. Not though I read this yesterday. I saw this last year. We studied this a decade ago. No, this is brand new. Shezeh bo ayidei hizbonin is klolis. How is it possible for a person to imagine that a Torah that was given 3,329 years ago was given today? That the things he's learning, that he learned already a year ago, or a day ago, or a month ago, or a decade ago, or 2 decades ago, that he should learn it as if he's seeing it for the first time? How is that possible? In fact, the Torah was given thousands of years ago. In fact, the subject matter was already studied. In fact, he's already aware of this. It's not new. Like, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? What do you mean? Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayim. And the answer is that through his bonenus, through contemplation, a person could come to realize and to think about this idea until it becomes a vivid reality. Yes, Hashem is giving it to me today. Yes, it is. I don't see it. That's true. I don't see it. It doesn't seem that way to me. But if I think deeply about it, I can understand it in that fashion. And once you can understand it theoretically, so if you ruminate and contemplate the theory long enough, the theory is actualized. So his bananas is key over here. The mental state of mind that a person puts himself in, the consciousness that a person self elevates to, that is very, very important component in the fulfillment and the actualization of this Torah dictate. Vayidei ha'izbonenos, and through hisbonenos, through this contemplation, sometimes we translate hisbonenos as meditation. But a lot of people get the heebie-jeebies when you tell them about meditation. They don't want to hear about meditation. It makes them sound Eastern. They think they have to sit cross-legged on the floor and have incense in front of them or something. The truth is, meditation is not a bad word. And if it makes you feel better, call it contemplation. But it means to think about something very strongly. And if you come to a person and you ask him, what's your opinion about such and such, or how do you feel about this? Many people's natural response be, I don't know. I didn't think about it. It's not on my mind. It's not part of my everyday reality. But if you think about it for long enough, and it's constantly on your mind, then it becomes a reality. It becomes what I'm doing now. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to use the most powerful muscle that he gave us, called the brain, and to use it often, and to be mindful, and to be thoughtful, and to be contemplative, and to always be thinking, not to be not thinking. How many times do people do things, why did you do that for? What's this answer? I wasn't thinking. Maybe you should think. A behemoth, an animal, doesn't think. An animal is not capable, really, of thinking. We are supposed to think. We're supposed to be thoughtful creatures. Think about it. Think about it. If a person do something, think about it. And if a person is mindful, then he elevates himself and puts himself in a different headspace, a different...
Sam, says Hayom, I think, couldn't it mean that over the generations, different, we understand Torah differently than maybe our ancestors? We see different things, we understand things differently, so we have to read the Torah in light of what we know today, how everything develops today.
That's an interesting thought, Marty. And there is actually some truth to what you're saying when we contemplate that the way we understand Torah today, in some ways, is more profound than ever before, for two reasons. First of all, our understanding of Torah today is accumulative. It's built on all the understanding and all the teaching and all the explanation, all the exposition of all these years. Right? We didn't have what we have available to us today. We didn't have once upon a time. That's true. And in addition to this, we have phenomenon and reality today, which they didn't have once upon a time, which gives us new metaphor, new frame to be able to understand spirituality. It's very easy for a person to understand the concept of an iCloud today, because he has an iPhone, so he understands an iCloud. And then all of a sudden we talk about connecting to a neshama reality, or being in an elevated state of consciousness, or connecting, neshamas can connect. So yeah, iCloud is not so hard to understand. And the same it is with quantum physics helps us understand certain spiritual realities which maybe once upon a time we couldn't. So what you're saying is true, and there is an element of Hayom, there is an element of Torah which you understand today that we may never have understood before, and this is also as Hayom, as constant. You have to look at it every single second. It could go off. And then, so on a personal level, our experiences change. And because our experiences change, we look at things differently. So this is also true. That's true. However, what you just talked about does not require avodah. It doesn't require any strenuous efforts. That's a matter of fact. And avodas Hashem is never a matter of fact. Avodas Hashem is always the sum total of effort and toil. That's what avodas Hashem is. And we say lefum tzara agra, according to the pain is the gain, the amount of toil and effort invested, that's what results in efficacy and a real accomplishment and achievement Yiddishkeit-wise. So what's necessary for us is to toil at Yiddishkeit. A simple example. We talk about a tzaddik, the way the Alter Rebbe explains it in Tanya. We're talking about a person who does not have the desires that the regular person has. He doesn't deal with the Yetzirah that everybody else deals with. He transcends that. So a person will say, when it comes to certain taivas, a certain lusts of desires, I have no desire. Oh, I'm a tzaddik. No, you're not really a tzaddik, because you didn't have to work on overcoming those desires. And since it comes naturally that you find it abhorrent, that doesn't make you a tzaddik. The tzaddik would be when the things that don't come naturally to you, when they would become. This is just a metaphor. In certain areas, I'm not like a tzaddik. In certain areas, I can understand the meaning of a tzaddik. The tzaddik looks at materiality in the way I find certain things abhorrent. Blood and guts to me is abhorrent. So that's the way a tzaddik looks at all of materiality. And therefore, the question ultimately becomes here, this business of b'chol yeim yo b'nech kachadoshim, which our sages said, we need to understand it in the rubric of avodas Hashem. What is being asked of us? What is Hashem demanding? What did the Torah mean when it said Hayoim, that you should serve Hashem as if it was given to you today? And the answer is contemplation. And that's not a surprise. There are other mitzvahs that are the sum total of contemplation. Ahavas Hashem. It says, V'ahavtas Hashem alikecha. You should love Hashem your God. How should you love Hashem your God? Can you command somebody to love? Either you love or you don't love. So Chassidus asks the question. And what's the answer? It tells you that you should be involved in his bananos. You should contemplate and you should think cerebrally about everything that Hashem gives you and what Hashem means to you and how great Hashem is and the fact that despite Hashem's greatness, Adain Seif, in a way which is totally infinite, that he cares about me, the tiny, finite, minute being, and that when you think about it long enough, it will engender an emotional response, and that's called Avas Hashem. So what is the Torah asking of us then? His bananos. It's asking you to use your strongest muscle. So this contemplation is how we're supposed to experience the idea of kechadoshim. Now kechadoshim is with a chof hadimyon. Chof hadimyon is a Hebrew expression for as if, ke. V'yaseira mizu, and even more so, as is explained, chadoshim mamash. Not like new, but actually new. The Rebbe notes that in the Alter Rebbe's Maimer, he finishes off, Inyan zem muftach l'mayla. This concept is actually a guaranteed thing. Sha'arei inyan zed b'chol yoim yiyo b'enecha kachadoshim. This business of every day it should be new in your eyes, every day it should be fresh to you. Hu loshen tzivui, it's a commandment. But it's also, if you will, loshen haftocha. It's also a guarantee, a promise. Hashem says, matter of factly, it will be. V'hoyo, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you that you should serve Hashem, hadvarim ha'elo, that these things should be, asher anoichi mitzav chayim, and it could also be understood, v'hoyo hadvarim ha'elo, these things will be, they will be fresh and new, they will be mitzav chayim. So what does that mean? If I don't work for it, don't get any credit. I didn't accomplish anything. What does it mean? What does it mean when I say it will be? It means that Hashem promises you, if you will put your best foot forward, and you will make the most profound effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you will succeed. It will not happen without effort. But that doesn't mean, you would say, that if I make effort, it does happen. Comes Tiras Emes and says, it will happen. It will. If you want it to be, it will happen.
So the will pertains to me and not to Hashem.
The will pertains to me. I have to want to do it.
You do your best.
You do your best. But here's the good news. In most things in the world, there's no guarantee of my doing my best having results. I can give it my best shot and come up short. But when it comes to Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you give it your best shot, and I guarantee it'll work. So you can, this is real. This can actually happen.
Basically, tshuva. That's what we're talking about.
You could talk about tshuva. Well, let's see where the Maamar goes now. V'al-yedei inyin zeh, harei klol l'saveid ha'sa'odah mikidaboy. When a yid does this, what's the sum total of this kind of contemplation? What do you think happens when a yid actually lives with this ideal? What do you think happens when you make this part of your life? Your avodah is kidaboy. Then your avodas Hashem is the way it should be. Your learning Torah is the way it should be because it's new, it's fresh. You're doing mitzvahs you're doing them. Because if Hashem would give it to you today, you would for sure do the mitzvah. Well, He did give it to you today. So really, this is kind of a guarantee. If you will do this, then the effect of the fresh or dynamic effect. You know, they have a lighthouse effect. Here's the chadashim effect. What's the chadashim effect? The chadashim effect is that I'll do everything right. So just work on this. If you work on this, everything else will kind of fall into place.
But not necessarily in your lifetime.
Oh, in your lifetime. Right. If you really contemplate and think and feel that Hashem gave you the Torah now, you'll be doing everything right.
What didn't happen to Abraham like that?
What didn't happen to Abraham?
The promise of was fulfilled after his death.
I didn't say that it means everything will be all right. Everything will be what you want to happen will happen. It means your Avodas Hashem will be the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes your Avodas Hashem is that you're dealing with an Asayin, a test. Sometimes you're dealing with a catastrophe. But your Avodas Hashem will be okay. Your Avodas Hashem will fall into place, meaning you will do the things you're supposed to do, because that's human nature. That's the way God built us. If it's fresh and dynamic, it's done well. As is explained, Barucha Behemshech Hadrush. Umamshech Shama Charkach. Then the Alter Rebbe takes the Maamar in a different direction. All of this, a beautiful, stirring description. That's the way it's supposed to be. Marty's not wrong entirely. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it would be if we would behave. If we would do things in a normative fashion. Aval kishayni kein. However, when things are not the way they're supposed to be, and we're talking about by virtue of our own choices, bad decisions. So now I'm not where I want to be. And life is not how I wanted it to be. And it could have been well, but it's not well. Whose fault is it? It's my fault. So by dint of my lack of Avodas Hashem, now all of a sudden things are not as they should be. What do you do then? Now we know why the Alter Rebbe takes us on this tangent. What is he telling us? A whole maisa about kachadoshim. That should be a maimer for Pashas Veschanan. What does it have to do with Dvarim? Because Chumash Dvarim, he sums up at the end with the last pasuk of the after tzion b'mishpati podeh, that you have to bring tzion home and you have to bring home shoveha. How do you bring it? How do you bring it home b'mishpat and you bring it with tzedakah? So what's the point? First, I have to know the way things how they should be. And after I know the way they should have been, now I can acknowledge they're not like that. So now that it's not the way it should have been, comes the question, how do I make it that way? How do you make it that way? So Mark is right, tshuva.
Don't you have to read the previous line with this? Al Hartzion Sheshomim. I mean, that's the worst part, and then the thing at the end is...
Al Hartzion Sheshomim is a description of a desolate Harabayas.
I think not working properly.
Yeah. But it's also a description of our own lives, correct? We're talking about kisha'einikein, when things aren't the way they should be. So that's when we have this pasuk. V'hainu, that is to say. When our situation in life is not as it should be, so when things are not the way they should be, why are they not the way they should be? Because I didn't behave the way I should behave. So now my life is in shambles. Now things didn't work out. Now, as you said, it says in the pasuk before, Harzi and Shoshamim, my mountain is desolate. My life is a blackened, burned out shell. Nothing fell into place. Nothing worked right. I have so much heartache and so much frustration. The question then is, how do I get back to where I always should have been? How do I create the restoration of spirit? This is about restoration. It's about rehabilitation. It's about coming home. And so that's what we talk about, pidyon. We talk about redemption, because we need to be redeemed from a negative set of circumstances, from a reality that maybe constricts me, or inhibits me, or shackles me. I have to be redeemed from that. And I have to return. I have to get back to my place. Like people say, let me get back to myself. This then is the meaning that tzien, that Zion is b'mishpat. You'll be redeemed through mishpat v'shavel, and her returnees are b'tzedakah. Sha'apidyin v'ha'ashavah, that the redemption and return or restoration, who he ayedei beis ha'pa'ulis, that happens through the two distinctly different efforts of mishpat and tzedakah. So now we'll have to understand what is mishpat and what is tzedakah, because these are the two things which enable the redemption and restoration. So the Rebbe says, mishpat haynu teira. Kimavur badrush, like the Alter Rebbe explains there at length, kitargu me'al ha'pasa kimishpat harishin, that kimishpat harishin and that pasuk is understood as bring back things the way they should have been, but it means it's talking over there about the butler and the baker who ended up in prison with Yosef. And they have to be returned, kimishpat harishin. They have to be returned to their previous standing. Of course, one does and one doesn't get returned. But they're talking about restoration of a prior status. And the word kimishpat in the Targum is rendered kihilchase kodmaisa, like the previous halacha. Now, halacha could be a statement of reality, where you get a statement from your credit card company. It's like, here's the halacha. You better pay up, or else. But kehilchase kadmaisa obviously refers to Torah also. It's the euphemism of Torah. Torah is the rules of Torah are called halacha. Vitzedaka, so mishpat is talking about Torah. Vitzedaka koi al kol ha-mitzvahs. Tzedaka is a reference to all of the mitzvahs. Omnam binyan zegufa yesh kama pratim. Within this general framework, there's a gamut. There's a range of many different levels. Dehine ha-pidush ha-poshu b'pasuk, the simple pshat in the pasuk is the masha kosov v'shoveha, when it says her returnees, koi alafonav, this refers to what it says earlier, the shoveha, meaning ha-shivuyim. Ha-shivuyim means those who are in captivity. That's one way we can understand the word shoveha, her captives. Or ha-chayzim, her returnees, v'shovim, as we're going to explain later on. This are the captives of Zion, prisoners of Zion. Gamken yipadu al yedei tzedakah. They will be redeemed through tzedakah. So there's a pedia, there's a redemption, and there's a restoration. And the redemption is affected through Torah, pedia. The restoration, or return, is affected through tzedakah. But the restoration or return also necessitates some kind of redemption. You can't just restore something without first unlocking it. V'yeshleimer habir bazeh. So the Rebbe suggests, and this is the Rebbe, it's a chiddush, a novel nuance from the Rebbe, ki gam lifnei limudat Torah, that even before the study of Torah, haritzarach siyata deshmaya, learning of Torah has a goal. What's the goal? Why do we learn Torah? Okay, let's take it back a moment. Let's not talk about learning how to do mitzvahs. We're not learning how to do mitzvahs now, per se. When you sit down and say, let me learn something, what am I trying to do? Let's
understand.
Acquire. I need to acquire knowledge. What happens if I'm learning, I'm reading, I'm listening, I don't understand a word. I don't know what's going on.
Still has value.
Maybe it has value, maybe it doesn't have value. But let's say that it was an unsuccessful day. He says, you went to the lecture? Yeah. How was it? I don't understand a word he said. So that was unsuccessful. You don't understand. I didn't connect. I didn't relate to it. Try again. You know, I did. Sometimes a person says it's not working. I'm too preoccupied. I have too much on my plate. I can't study. It's not working. Now sometimes we make an effort to study Torah, and something remarkable happens. It's like a vista, new vista just opens up, new horizons just all of a sudden. We just get it sometimes. So how does that happen? How does that happen that sometimes we just don't get it? Sometimes we barely get it? And sometimes we super get it?
It's repetition. We learn.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. You're a smart guy. You're a business person. Some days you have a good day of business. Some days you have a bad day of business. Yeah? What's the difference? What made the difference? How come some days business was good and some days business was bad? Shkoyach, siyat d'shmaya. Help from on high. Now look at the Maimon. What does it ever say? In order to be effective in my learning, what do I need? Siyat d'shmaya. Pashat, help from on high. The Rebbeinu Shlom has to be kind to us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to help us. And if it's what we say in our davening, v'hoi reineinu v'sein asecho, our eyes should be illuminated with your Torah. It's a gift. It's not a given. Ubefrat shakavana kani lahalachas shebetera. As we said, hilchas akad maisa. It's the halachas of Torah. And to be able to reach a halachic decision, to be able to understand the subtleties and nuances of a particular question, and to drill down to the core essence and apply the halacha appropriately, requires siyata d'shmaya. It's a rule. Hashem imoy halacha kemoisei. It's not simple to be able to translate the theory into practice. V'hari amru razal, our sages did tell us, and this is a gemara in Maseches Megillah, as well as a gemara in Maseches Yuma, the b'shvil la'asuke shmaitza, aliba dehilchasa, to be able to learn a sugya, to be able to learn a topic, something discussed in the Talmud, and to get it though in halachic parlance, and on practical application, to understand what to do with the knowledge, how to apply it, and what is the ruling for this tzarechliya siyata d'shmaya b'miuchad. You have to have a special aid from on high. And there are many incredible stories told about this, of halacha, of psak halacha, that psak halacha requires siyata d'shmaya.
Does this have to do with all understanding? Like, is it just we have to try to understand and Hashem gives us the ability?
You're asking if it has to do with all understanding, and I'm understanding that you're either talking about Torah in general or talking about understanding anything. So the answer is that anything we do needs Siyata D'Shmaya. Just because you make efforts does not mean you're going to succeed. Specifically, Limud HaTorah requires special Siyata D'Shmaya. It's very easy to err in my understanding of Torah, in my approximation of a Torah idea. And especially so when it comes to halacha. So you need siyata d'shmaya. U'mikivin shemidase shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. Since the measure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mida keneged mida, God responds in like fashion. So therefore, hine kedei lekabel asiyua mil maila, in order to get the aid, assistance from on high, what do I need then? How would I be able to elicit a special assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So then would have to be the idea of siyua, I should provide assistance, linid koyim, to somebody who's of a crushed spirit or situation, v'huin yinat tzedakah. So if I want to receive tzedakah from Hashem, what should I do?
Give
tzedakah. In other words, so I want to understand this concept in Torah, but I'm not understanding it. And so what do I say? Please, like, could you help me out over here? What are we basically? Schnurs. Yes, no. God give me. Why should I give you? Because I want. So you want, I should give you. But that's what happens. You're davening and the next fundraiser comes in over here, right? The next, say, oh my God, another schnur. What do you want? Give me a buzz off, another schnur. So 1 second. You're also a schnur, right? you want help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like you want help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give to somebody else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in like fashion. The more you give of yourself, the more you receive, because it's mida keneged mida. So therefore, the Rebbe is saying a fascinating thing here. That how is it possible to create a restoration of spirit? The answer is Torah. Learning Torah restores our spirit. The question is, though, it says also tzedakah, v'shovel b'tzedakah. So the pediyah, the redemption and restoration, is affected through Torah study, but also tzedakah. Why? What does tzedakah have to do with this? What's the Rebbe's answer? In order to succeed in Torah, I need siyata d'shmaya. So you're asking for siyata d'shmaya. Mida keneged mida. If you're asking for siyata d'shmaya, what should you do? Then you should do that, because then he'll respond in like fashion. So therefore, the Rebbe is suggesting that that's the pshat of v'shovel b'tzedakah. The Rebbe then says that this answer is nonetheless remains inadequate. The Rebbe says, therefore, there has to be a deeper and more profound answer. And it's not enough to say that. There has to be actually two different things that are going on over here. There has to be the concept of Torah and the concept of tzedakah. And he talks about two different levels. We're a little, unfortunately, out of time in this maimer. But there's two different madregas. He talks about a level of the neshama, a restoration that requires only pedia, only just have to redeem it, release it. It's already there. You don't have to come back anywhere. There's a part of us that's always where it should be, because it's not possible to remove it. It can't go anywhere. So, but why don't I feel it or know it? Okay, it's locked up inside. Redeem it. Just release it. That's pedia. And then there's a part of us that went for a big trip, that went off on a big tangent in the wrong direction. And there, it's not just simply a question of releasing. There, it's actually a question of restoration. I have to return. I have to bring it back. And for this, Mishpat, Torah tzedakah, is not enough. For this, there has to be the idea of tzedakah, literally and figuratively. Literally is giving tzedakah, helping others, and figuratively, the idea of asiyas hamitzvahs.
So it's a marriage of thought and deed?
A marriage of thought and deed.
Study of Torah?
Study of Torah, generally speaking, is within the rubric of thought, although it also expresses itself in speech. And sometimes you could even act out a Torah concept, a role play, to get an idea. It's not so much a question of whether it's a thought thing or a speech thing or a deed thing. It's a different kind of pursuit. It's pursuit of knowledge. It's pursuit of understanding. It's expansion of consciousness and education and awareness. It's just having no knowledge, the know-how, the know-of. And then there's the idea of doing, putting into practice. I would say the marriage of theory and practice. So on one hand, I have to get the theory straight. I have to have clarity, and that's Torah. And when I have clarity, when I know what I'm doing here and I understand, I have understanding of Torah, this creates an automatic redemption. It redeems my spirit. That's the nature of Torah study. Any person, no matter how far he or she goes from Yiddishkeit, you sit down and you study Torah for a half hour, it changes you. It changes you. It redeems something. It is something about us that's locked up, and it redeems, it releases it. But then there's a part of us that's not where it should be altogether, that's gone off on some tangent. And to bring that home, over there, theory or thought or study or education is not sufficient. What's required to do that? Tzedakah action. And that's the tzim b'mishpati pad v'shovel b'tzedakah. So the Rebbe really explains this mimer in the beginning. What is the connection of shovel b'tzedakah to mishpat? First, the Rebbe's first original explanation based on the Alter Rebbe's mimer is that we should bring up do tzedakah in order to find the concept of mishpat given to us, mida keneged mida. The Rebbe then says that this is still insufficient, and he demonstrates how in the pasuk there's clearly two different ideas being articulated and conveyed. And therefore, he introduces the second idea. And then the mimer goes yet in another direction, and he talks about restoration and rehabilitation of within the framework of time itself, and the idea of transformation. To transform that, first he talks about getting home. And then after he talks about getting home, he talks about leaving a bad place. The question then is, how do I redirect or sublimate those prior experiences? And that's the idea of transformation, and that's the notion of these days, the whole concept of Tisha B'Av, which will be transformed into a Yom Tov. And we're out of time. So the main thing is that may that happen speedily and in our days. Amen.
Amen.